roll call before we do our pledge of allegiance, and it looks like we have every single commissioner here. Commissioner Myers, Commissioner Shear, my vice chair, Commissioner West, Commissioner Kleinman, Commissioner Davis, and Commissioner Kennedy. Thanks for all being here today. And we have a packed house as well. Thanks everyone for joining us. Victoria, would you mind doing the staff roll call?
Sure. We have Director of Operations Dylan Timberline, Director of Facilities Ben Tech, Director of Finance and Admin Sarah Mayne, my folks Victoria Baytower, Finance Specialist Jennifer Croker, Finance Specialist Travis Portner, and Terminal Ops Manager Cameron Reese.
Oh, thank you. And our fearless leader is on PTO, and we told her not to find service while she's camping to call them. The team has got it covered today. Would you all join me with a pledge of allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So as our community knows, we have been greatly impacted by wildfires, and the airport has played a really important adjacent role in supporting that, but we've lost 4 firefighters. So today we're just going to take a moment of silence for the loss of those lives, and then we'll move on with our agenda. So if you would join me for a moment of silence. Thank you, everyone. So today we have a fairly light agenda and a fairly packed house, and we're grateful for all of you joining us and paying attention to what's happening at the airport. I need an approval today for the agenda.
Motion approved.
Thank you, Commissioner West. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Any commissioner comments today? I have a couple that I've alluded to. As many of you know, Colorado Day is August 1st, and there's a lot of neat celebrations happening in our community, but one of them is really, really cool, particularly because it affects, well, Commissioner Davis has been very generous. So would you like to share about your family flag?
Sure. We've got a 150-foot flagpole. It used to be up in the up at 25 Road. Previous to that, it was up off of 23 and G Road area, in between 23 and 24. And CMU, and it's been down. We moved our businesses. It wasn't a great place to put it up at our new business. We've always wanted to get it back up somewhere. And John Marshall called and was like, hey, you want to put the flag back up at CMU? And I was like,
heck yeah.
So we've been working for the last few months to get that flag up. The pole is up. We're practicing putting the flag up tonight, and then we're going to put the official flag raising ceremony this Saturday at 10 a.m. at CMU.
Yeah.
Right by the rugby fields. So.
Yeah, you all should join. I think commissioners received an invitation to that, but I think the flagpole is 150 feet tall,
flag
right?
Flagpole is 150 feet. The American flag is 40 by 80 feet, so okay. 3,200 square feet just for the American flag. And then the Colorado flag is smaller, but the overall square footage is 1,876 square feet.
With that.
For the
bigger
than
some houses.
Bigger than most houses in the community, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they're hoping that it'll be the largest flag in the state. I don't know if that's true, but we'll find out on Saturday if you all join. So please mark your calendars and join for that. And then we also got invited to a tanker ground or a tanker ribbon cutting by the BLM firefighter operations. So if you guys don't have it on your calendar, I think that'll be a really neat way, if you have time, to join and thank Tommy Hayes, who does all that work for the firefighters, support with the slurry bombers. It's just an opportunity for us to just tell him thank you in person. So put those on your calendar. Any other commissioner comments? Any citizen comments?
None registered.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, I need a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Consent agenda is presented.
Perfect. A second?
Second.
Any further discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. The motion carries for consent. We'll be excited for that. I'm just going to comment really quickly on that. airport facility lease and concession agreement at tail end. It'll be really, really neat to see an additional space where we can sell local wine. So folks leaving the area can bring that as gifts. So I'm excited to see that. We have a couple of action items on our agenda. Number one is our audit acceptance, and I think our partners at Plant Moran are on the line. And then we have two commissioners who serve on our audit committee, Commissioner Meyer and Commissioner West. Sarah, would you like to introduce the audit since you have that charge?
Sure, absolutely. So the financial statement audit is a requirement that we have annually as a public entity in Colorado, as well as because of the amount of federal funds we receive, and because we receive PFC funds, we technically have three audits going on. So Rumsey and his team at Plant Moran have been great partners this year, and I just want to say thank you to Travis and Jennifer. It's all a pretty big lift just to, you know, get the amount of documents together and put everything in there and, you know, having someone else review your work. It's a lot of work. It's been a whole set with that. So I just want to thank my team and Ben and Dylan and some of them also had to prepare for the integration as well. So thank you to them. And I will hand it over to Rumsey unless, Chris, you want to say anything first, kind of from the finance committee.
Per the agenda, I understand the committee, the finance audit committee did review and had a meeting with the audit team from Plant Moran, and the recommendation is to accept the reports. And then any questions that come up from Rumsey's presentation?
I think this year we were fully staffed on the finance team too, whereas last year we weren't.
Yes, I was playing a little bit of catch up as I started in February, and it's always interesting to have an audit on a year that you weren't here and part of. So having been here most of the full year that we were auditing, so this is for 2025, the full calendar year. But yeah, so it definitely went smoother this year than last year. So.
Rumsey, would you like to lead the discussion on the work you did?
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. We appreciate the opportunity to be here before you today. My name is Rumsey Abdullah. I'm the partner that oversaw this year's audits, along with Lisa Meacham, who I know has served your account for many years, and many of you are familiar with her. Also with me today is Stephanie Atkinson, the audit manager, and Will Schultz, the audit senior, who also performed and supervised this year's audits with me. As in prior years, as Sarah just explained, our audit consisted of a financial statement audit, a federal awards audit, and a PFC compliance audit, and we are substantially complete with our audit, and the reports are in final draft and just pending your review and acceptance. Also, as was mentioned, we previously met with the Finance and Audit Committee and gone over the results in detail. These reports begin on your packet on page 14. This is where the financial statements begin. So we have prepared today on the agenda, we're gonna give you a highlight of some of the numbers in the financial statements. And then we've also included on page 69 of your packet our communication between auditors and those charged with governance. That's the audit report that we issue at the end of every year that gives you the results of the audit. Again, I'm gonna piggyback on what Sarah said, but before I do get into the results, I do wanna take a moment to thank your team. Really everybody, Angela, Sarah, Jennifer, Travis, the entire team, all worked very hard. There are many, many documents, samples that we request. There's many questions that we're required to go through. And this year we performed our audit on site, which was the first time in several years that we've been on site. And your team was ready on day one. We had a very efficient field work, and we actually had pretty much near final results in early June, which is probably the quickest turnaround we've had in an audit in several years. So I really want to thank your team for their commitment to transparency and accountability and just being great partners getting through this audit. So now on the next slide, we kind of get into the results of the audit, and I'm going to highlight the results of the deliverables that we provide because there are a lot of pages. So the very first document in the packet is the financial statement, and these are your financial statements. The only page or deliverable that we really prepare that as a Plant Moran document is the opinion letter, which is page one of the financial statements. This year, the authority has received an unmodified opinion on the financial statements. This is the highest level of assurance that we can give on a set of financial statements, and it provides the reader of the financial statements with reasonable assurance that the financial statements, in our opinion, are fairly presented, are free of material misstatement, and they comply with the applicable standards. We did not identify any reportable deficiencies in internal control over financial reporting, and we found the authority's accounting records to be reconciled, accurate, and complete. For the next audit, we audited the authority spending of $24.2 million in the airport improvement program. We found the authority to be in compliance with the program, and we have no findings noted. For the third audit, we audited the authority spending of $1.17 million of PFC, passenger facility charges. We found the authority to be in full compliance with this program, and we have no findings to report there as well. The last item, the last deliverable that we have is our end of audit letter that I mentioned. This includes required communications that the audit standards require us to speak to and to communicate with you if we have any of these situations or circumstances. The first is that we did not have any difficulties encountered during the performance of our audit. We had no disagreements with management. We did not have any significant audit findings or matters that were noted during the audit. And if we did, this letter is where we would report them to you. But I'm happy to report that we do not have any such matters to bring to your attention. And then lastly, I can confirm that we are independent of the authority in compliance with the rules of the Colorado State Board of Accountancy, the AICPA, and the government auditing standards. With that, I'll hand it over to Stephanie, who's going to cover some of the financial statement highlights on the next slide.
Thank you, Ramsey.
Awesome. Thanks, Ramsey. All right, so I'm going to just cover a high-level financial statement overview. So starting with the statement of net position, the total assets and deferred outflows increased to approximately $211.6 million, representing a $37.1 million increase from the prior year. The primary driver of this increase was nearly $25.9 million in capital asset additions, along with the continued spending on runway improvements and other airport infrastructure projects. Cash and cash equivalents increased by approximately $6.5 million during the year. From a cash flow perspective, the airport generated approximately $2.1 million of net cash from operating activities. In addition, capital and related financing activities provided $3.1 million in net cash, largely due to the receipt of $26.6 million of capital grant funding. Those inflows were partially offset by approximately $30.2 million of capital asset expenditures during the year. Current liabilities remained relatively stable at approximately $9 million. These balances primarily consist of accounts payable and liabilities associated with the timing of capital projects, including approximately $5.6 million of capital-related payables outstanding at year-end. Deferred inflows and deferred outflows net to approximately $9.6 million and continue to be driven primarily by lease accounting requirements as well as pension and OPEB-related activities. The overall composition remained generally consistent with the prior year. As a result of these activities, total net position increased to approximately $169.1 million, an increase of about $22.9 million over the prior year. This growth was driven primarily by $24.5 million of capital contributions, most notably the Airport Improvement Program grant funding, that supported ongoing runway and infrastructure improvement projects. And then flipping to the next slide, next I'll move to the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. Overall, the airport continued to generate positive operating results during the year. Operating income before depreciation was approximately $2.7 million, which was generally consistent with the prior year. Total operating revenues were $9.8 million, while operating expenses, excluding depreciation, were $7.1 million. This reflects continued strong operational performance and the airport's ability to support ongoing activities through its operating revenues. Depreciation expense totaled $7.1 million, which is in line with the expectations given the significant capital asset base and recent capital investments placed into service. Looking more closely at revenues, aeronautical revenue increased a little bit to $3.8 million. This growth was driven primarily by higher airline activity and increases in airline rates and charges.
Non-aeronautical revenue totaled approximately $6 million, representing a slight increase compared to the prior year. These revenues continue to provide an important source of diversification for the airport. On the expense side, operating expenses, excluding depreciation, increased by approximately $1 million from the prior year to $7.1 million. The increase was primarily attributable to ongoing personnel costs, maintenance activities, and service contracts necessary to support the airport operations. Finally, as discussed on the previous slide, the airport reported a total increase in net position of $22.9 million. This increase was driven largely by $24.5 million of capital contributions, primarily from the Airport Improvement Program, funding, and other grant sources that supported the airport's capital development initiative. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Will to cover a few more items related to the financial statement.
Would you mind if I just pause for a second and ask commissioners if they have questions on those two pages? Okay. No questions. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now, the final part of the presentation here, we have the new accounting pronouncements, along with a summary of schedule, expenditures, federal awards, and then passenger facility charges. So first, for new accounting pronouncements, there was one new pronouncement that was adopted this year, which was GASB 102, certain risk disclosures. And it was determined that there was no impact on the current year financial statements for the standard, which is good. And then we have three more standards that are under the upcoming pronouncement section here, and two of which will be required to be implemented in the next fiscal year, so fiscal year ending December 31st, 2026, GASB 103 and 104, financial reporting model improvements, and then disclosure of certain capital assets. And then finally, GASB 105, which relates to the subsequent events, that will be required to be implemented not until 2 years from now, in the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2027. Next, we want to just give you kind of a summary of the grant expenditures and also the passenger facility charge expenditures that occurred during the year. So total expenditures related to the Airport Improvement Program from the FAA totaled about $24.2 million. And then an additional grant, the Small Community Air Service Development grant, had expenditures of about $950,000 during the year. And then finally, for passenger facility charge expenditures, they're about $1.17 million during the year. And with that, I will pass it back over to Rosie.
Thank you, Will. So that concludes the items that we wanted to highlight in the financial statements and the audit deliverables. So really, across the board, clean audit opinion and favorable results. And again, want to thank the entire team for all of their cooperation and assistance during the audit. So happy to address any questions that you may have on the financials or audit reports.
Ramsey, I'll just say the word transparency that you use is music to our ears. It's the value of all of the commissioners. We think this team is phenomenal, and then to hear you state that and then use the word transparency is just a really, it's a shot in the arm. So thank you guys for all of your work on that. Any other statements or questions from commissioners?
Exceptional. I think when you have an audit of that size with how fast you have, you guys move through that so quickly and with no exceptions. That's very good. Congratulations to the staff. I mean, you guys are in things in good order year round, not just a lot of kind of stuff.
Okay. If nothing else, thank you very much, team, for being here, for your work on this audit. We appreciate you, Ramsey. We're glad to have you back in that consistency year over year. Stephanie, Will, thank you
thank
for
you.
Your time today. And I think maybe one more thing just from me for closing, just so you guys know, kind of procedurally following acceptance, should you vote to accept, we will be filing with the state of Colorado. We will also be filing with the U.S. government. I don't know why, but it's escaping me right now, which is that it also goes into what is referred to as EMMA, which is the bond disclosure requirement.
So there are several filing steps that will happen after this, which really notify and satisfy all of our reporting requirements that we have. That first deadline is July 31st. There's extension through September, so no issue as far as getting everything done on time, but just kind of wanted you guys to know those are next steps for us. Once we get approval, we'll work with our partners at Plant Grant to get everything filed. So.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's very helpful timing. And this will give you sufficient time to get everything in by July 31st. Wonderful. Okay. Then I will need a motion to accept the 2025 audit.
So moved.
Yeah, is this a resolution? No, it's not. Okay, thank you, Commissioner West. Thank you, Commissioner Shear. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, it passes unanimously. Thank you again for your work. And congratulations.
Thank you.
No extension this year. All right, next on our agenda is our airport parking management agreement. I saw some of the team members from LAS were here today. Sarah, would you like to introduce this today, or who do you have scheduled?
Absolutely. This one's mine.
Okay.
I may ask for others if anyone would like to interject anything.
Perfect.
And I think really where I want to start actually is the type of agreement with this. This has been a pretty lengthy process, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like it. I know the commissioners were kind enough to authorize some extensions, and our partners at Republic agreed to those as well, to allow us time to really run this RFP process and get to a place where we feel really good about this decision, because it is a major contract and revenue source for the airport. So we worked with our planners over at InterVistas and initially started to talk through what kind of contract types do we want. Our old agreement was considered a concessionary revenue sharing agreement, so for every dollar that's brought in, there's a minimum annual guarantee, very similar to kind of Tailwinds or some of those others. And then after that, minimum annual guarantee is satisfied, then we share for every dollar. It was, I think, 81% airport. The remainder was going to the parking operator. So that was kind of the model that we did have. What we are switching to, and we spent a lot of time talking through pros and cons with InterVistas on, is to a management agreement style. So instead of a revenue sharing where we share together kind of in that revenue generation, we have more of a fixed cost model. We will pay a set management fee, and then we will reimburse expenses for staffing through that third party company. They will submit the information to us, and then we will reimburse the actual cost. So I kind of did a side by side here, but kind of from a risk and upside, the operator takes on a little bit more risk in that revenue share, because if we don't generate that revenue, then you know they have to figure out how to cut those costs with what they have. We also think there can be some challenges with that too when we're kind of trying to cut costs versus they're guaranteed to make a certain amount of money. And then the airport really does get that upside. So should we generate additional revenue with the products we've talked about, the airport gets to keep that. So that was one piece we talked a lot about. Just kind of control of day-to-day operations. And ultimately, we really did decide on that management agreement. I think a lot of airports, especially maybe more our size and our size of parking revenue, are moving more towards that management agreement versus that concession. So that was an important first part of this. I tried to kind of include that in the AIS. I know it's a lot of information, but this was really a first step. The contract that we had with Republic is several years old, and they were talking about it was a 1900s contract for sure. So we wanted to make sure that we got everything updated before we issued that RFP. Yeah. So that was kind of step one. The process itself, we did issue that RFP, which included a contract and all of the language of what the requirements were. We issued that April 3rd. We did host an on-site pre-proposal meeting. We did also allow online participation. We had a really great response. Lots of them, lots of people came out and walked the facilities. We were able to tour and kind of look at what we had. We shared future plans, expansion, things Colin's working on. We then had an opportunity for all of the proposers to submit questions to the airport. Some of that was on contract language, plans, incentives, additional information, and then those final proposals came back at the end of May. So then from there, our evaluation team looked through these criteria, which were published as part of that RFP, the qualifications of the personnel, and their references that they provided to us, which to Travis, we called and followed up on quite a few references. We looked at the management and operations plan, experience in designing and acquiring a new parks, parking, accounting, revenue control system, some suggestions for enhancing customer service and their revenues, and then the overall value of the financial offer and what they're bidding. So we actually had 8 responses, which was incredible. We were really excited about that response. We shortlisted 3 finalists and did an interview with them with our evaluation team, and were able to ask some additional kind of detailed questions about management and operation plans. And then for those that were not, you know, Republic, who was already operating, a little bit of a question about what the transition plan looks like and what that, how that will work. So following that and all of that evaluation, really focusing in on these criteria, we found Labs to be the recommended company that we would like to propose for the parking operator. And then on here at this slide, I've highlighted just kind of a few items. The term of this contract will be a 3-year initial term. We do have 2 1-year extension options. And then at that point, you're really at the option to look at an additional extension, running in another RFP. But we know we have a lot of change coming up, so we really talked about this kind of 5-year contract aligns with a lot of change that we already have happening. It will give us that opportunity to implement the new parks. As I mentioned before, there is a management fee component, which is set based on what they proposed. And then staff, supervisor salaries, credit card processing fees, and all of those are actually going to be provided to us with Labs as a partnership as far as budgeting each year, what the schedules look like, what the rates are. The rates are set and quoted in the agreement, but we will work with them on annual budget each year for what some of those look like, so we can implement that into our financial statements. One change too, this does start a daily deposit of parking revenues, whereas previously we've gotten about the 15th of the following month, we get a deposit for all of the previous month. So we're excited about some, you know, cash flow opportunities in this, as well as additional interest earning of getting the deposit a little bit more frequently. And then within 30 days of the contract start, we're looking to do the procurement of that park system that I mentioned. And just so you guys know on staffing too, right now we are maintaining staffing. That was a big conversation of, do we go to, you know, non-staffed, credit card only? Do we keep staff? Do we accept cash? Do we not? So we've gone through a lot of those. We really feel at this time we still want to accept cash, but we want to expand the ability to do more cashless transactions. And we do want to retain staffing out there. We think it's important from a customer service. So really the plan is to have that staff 2 hours prior to the first departure and an hour after the last arrival. And then with Labs, one of the things we really like to is with their customer service, they also have the ability for a remote call-in. So if somebody pushes the button and an attendant is not there, it'll connect, it can connect them, and some of this will be the new park system. But for them to be able to remotely operate the booth, and we're not waiting on, you know, an airport person to have to come out and try to help them and things like that. So really excited about this partnership. They have a big staff in Denver. We have Don Barrett over here, who's part of the transition team. If you have other questions that you have for Labs or for me, at this point, open up to questions.
Beautiful. Don, thanks for being here. You said you're from Ohio, so yes. Long ways from home, but would you like to say anything?
No, we're really excited to be selected. We're open for board approval today, of course. We've already put a lot of field in motion so far because Sarah and the team have a very aggressive timeline for us for the transition, but we're working hard on it. We're excited. Labs is the largest and fastest growing privately held parking operator in North America. We operate approximately 50 airports varying in size from LAX and Denver and small regional non-hub airports as well. So we have a team of about 10 airport services individuals, and then of course we have a regional office out of Denver where we do all of our commercial online. Really excited about the opportunity and happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner, any questions for Sarah or Don? Commissioner
Penn. Thank you for the presentation, Sarah. I'm glad we're getting this in, put in place. You mentioned, and here was mentioned frequently, the parks revenue system. What is the anticipated cost of that, and do we pay for that, or is the vendor?
So we talk a lot with our consultants prior. Some of the cost of that will really depend on which system we choose. So part of that partnership, that's really a specialty that Labs has and the other parking operators. So that's why we asked them to help us with that procurement. In our budget, I think we budgeted $750,000 is what I want to say off the top of my head. And part of that FID loan funds that we applied for was to help fund that. It is typically funded and owned by the airport. There's some advantages to that. Should you change operators after the fact, you own the equipment, so that is our intent. Whether we do that over a payment plan and a term, or whether we pay that up front, is still something we want to work through with Labs. And the contract language that Dan and I put together really allows us to negotiate what that schedule looks like. But we will own it and pay for it, and that was part of the intent of that siting fund. So that's a great question.
And then as far as the maintenance of the entire facility, who does that fall to?
So there's a few things that are split in there with maintenance. Our team will do snow removal, the payment, anything on the parks equipment system, maintenance, those costs will come back to us since we are the owner there. Some customer service items and maintenance labs will do, like help people with jump starting cars or if you locked keys in, some of those. Some trash pickup, I believe, was on that bike. So there's a little bit of a sharing, but that's all really stated out in that contract. And that's something Ben and Sean weighed in on heavily of what is our team available for and what do we typically do, cart returns and those things, and what is more typical kind of on the parking operator. So.
And who's going to maintain those electric car charging stations?
We will own those as well, but there are some conversations that Ben and I have been having. There's some different options and alternatives to that as well that we're still exploring.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't we self-perform this operation?
You know, we've talked about that a lot as when we were evaluating, you know, kind of the contract and some of those things. From a staffing perspective and just an expertise, you know, that's not something that anybody on staff really has a lot of experience in. Setting up those processes, as well as from a cost perspective, since we participate in Colorado Para and some of those other programs, some of that employee cost becomes a little bit greater on our side than what we're able to get with a third-party operator where they still have their benefits, but some of those pension costs for us do run up that staff rate, as well as I think just with our HR right here, and it being a little bit of a higher turnover position, since a lot of them are not full-time staff, there's a lot of part-time. But we did spend a lot of time talking about that, and frankly, it was another reason with the 5 year, you know, if that's something we wanted to explore again, taking it in-house, we certainly could, but at this time, we didn't feel like it was a great fit. Gosh, Don, I'm going to have to wait on you because I've looked at so many numbers.
Question, I'm sorry.
How many staff do we want to self-perform?
Right now, there's about 9 employees out there. And we don't look at increasing the staff size. We think it'll maintain around 9 employees. Now, the mixture is about half part-time, half full-time at this point.
And from a staffing perspective, too, I do think it's important to note that with a lot of these types of transitions, they'll interview that existing staff and make sure, you know, if they meet their criteria and if they want to transition, that is usually the offer. They're already on board. They already are familiar. They will be running the existing park, you know, system that's in place. So there's a familiarity there. It's not a clean, you know, wipe the slate clean and then start with brand new staff. There is that opportunity for the transition for the existing if they meet those criteria, which certainly is up to labs, but we have had, you know, good customer service from our existing staff, so we recommended them overall for them to review.
Contract starts August 1st,
yeah.
And that's adequate time for a smooth transition?
We are making the wheels move as quickly as we can, yes.
Dan Reamer, I saw your camera off. Do you have something to say?
Just simply to clarify the point that Sarah was making about the term and to make sure that the board appreciates, it's a 3-year initial term with 2 1-year extensions. We hold the extension. So if this proves to be a bridge to a different model in 2029 and then again for the 5th year, the board would decide this is a good partnership, this is a good approach. Is the operator prepared to continue for the 4th and 5th year?
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, it's not their option, it's yours.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan. Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, Don, thank you again for being here. I need a motion to approve the parking management agreement with LAB.
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis, second.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Kennedy. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Victoria. Wonderful. Thank you again for being here. Congratulations, and thank you for hitting the ground running. All right, it looks like we have staff reports next. Colin, it's good to see you in person.
Take it away.
Quick update. Keep with the theme of a maybe short board meeting today. You'll advance. You've seen this slide before, runway program. The green represents the pavement subbase. We are wrapping that up this year, fully funded, wrapping up this year. The blue has also been awarded. That is starting soon. We've issued notice proceeds, contractors mobilizing in, and the first $40 million of that is funded from an end-of-year grant last year. As a reminder, we're expecting another 12-ish next month to come before the board for approval, and then we're going to put an application in for the remainder as well, with, you know, fingers crossed that they've got end-of-year money. But in the event that it's not, it's planned on being funded in time to open in 28 at this point. Questions on runway? There's a lot happening, but I think we talk about that same slide every month, so I want to go to the park. Parking expansion, Sarah alluded to it earlier, but we are still on track to expand the blue area next spring, about 300 more spaces. I think it'll be well needed with Aspen closing next year. Any questions? I think Rebecca with Gensler is on to give a facilities update.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. We've got a list of our recently completed projects over the last year, maybe a little bit more. The most recent is the air traffic control tower. The first phase of the improvements have been wrapped up, and that was re-roofing of level 6 in the cab level and new RTUs to serve the cab level, and some things that went with it, like new guardrails and a few other things. And we are currently
Rebecca, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Can you remind me what an RTU is?
Oh, sorry. Rooftop terminal unit. It's the air conditioning.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
It's to keep those cab workers comfortable up there. So very important.
Yes, and 104 degrees is very important.
Yes, exactly. So currently we have three projects active. We have the level 2 amenity project, the next couple phases of the tower, and landside signage. And I have a couple slides for those if you could advance. So level 2 amenity project is done with design and about to start construction. As a reminder, we're adding a new pet relief room, a mother's room, and a family restroom with an adult changing table onto the secure side of the airport. And then we'll have the automatic exit lanes for everyone deboarding. And we are doing a modernization of the two existing elevators. Through the design process, the team decided that the new up escalators and the new passenger elevator would have better efficiency if we wait for a certain other projects to happen first, and then it will be less painful for the kind of construction impacts of that phase. So that scope is kind of partially designed and then deferred for a future project. Any questions on this scope? So the next project, the air traffic control tower, received additional grant funding. So we are doing phase 2 and 3 of the improvements, which is essentially a full mechanical replacement of everything else other than those RTUs on the cab. And it also is replacing the rest of the roofing, levels 1 through 6. And we are replacing the glazing on the cab as well for better efficiency, a new building management system, and adding in a fire suppression system. It's a pretty tight time frame, so we are about halfway through design and we'll have final documents mid-August. Any questions on this? Okay, next one is the landside signage. So all of the signage leading up to the airport and through the parking lot to help direct everyone is getting replaced with a new design, new location, sometimes reused foundation, sometimes. This scope is also finishing up design right now, and we're in communication with some fabricators on the bidding of that, and it is anticipated the construction and kind of replacement will happen in the fall and winter. And that's all I've got.
Great. Any questions? Sorry.
Yeah, will we see that sign package come before the board?
I think the plan, I don't want to speak on the airport staff, but I think the plan is it's currently they're working through pricing.
Got it.
For it. So there will be a contract expected to come before the board.
Good, how exciting.
Yeah. One more thing that I left off was the solar parking canopy. That is planning on being opened at the end of August. The solar is on a little bit of a delay. There's some transition of the tower up to it, and it involves some terminal impact. So we're working through that. I'm expecting that this fall as well, to get that off there, like open and ready to plug into.
So we'll have the canopy and we'll be able to use the canopy.
Correct.
But it won't be hooked up.
Correct.
Till like October.
That's okay. I mean, for customers, they won't know the difference, but
yeah.
As far as putting energy back into the grid and power in general, that'll be later this fall.
Okay.
Upcoming board actions. There's a lot, obviously a lot happening. In next month's board meeting, we expect to accept the grant I mentioned earlier for the runway, level two amenity grant. That's a built grant, AIG, I forgot what they're calling it.
AIG.
Yeah, that's what it is. And then we're planning on bringing exterior signage contract before the board for pricing. In September, we're expecting to bring pre-authorization forward to capture any end of year money for the runway program, as well as actually accepting that grant for the tower and in the contract with FCI for that work. In the background, not board action, but just for awareness, this is approaching the time of year where we sit down with the FAA and CDOT to talk about next year and the year after's funding. This is a rolling conversation. There's no surprises on it, but it's part of our conversation every year where we sit down and talk about the next scope of work. So the next big item that we'll talk about is the conversion of the existing runway to a parallel taxiway. So that will be 29-30 time frame is the expectation. That's what we communicated to the FAA, and they're aware of that's the next big step.
Very exciting. And in terms of the tower, when will that work be complete? Will it be done before the end of the year?
The expectation is to award that contract in the fall and then buy it before it gets really hot next year.
Got it.
Trying to get that work done prior to fire season.
That makes sense. Any other questions for Colin?
I have one question.
Yes.
When do you think we'll first see blacktop out there on the runway?
Asphalt will start going down in the summer of 27. It will be there's multiple layers though of asphalt, so the final surface is probably spring of 28, I guess.
Any other questions? Thank you, Con.
Yes.
Thanks, Rebecca.
All right, and I just so you guys know, I think we're going to switch up the report order. Part of it stands a little bit here, but that allows Colin to hop back on a flight if he needs to on these days that he's reporting. So we'll probably start doing the project report first and then the annual report. So I get to be your closure now, for better or for worse. So for the June activity, what you have in your packet, again, is May financials, but we did get our 42nd consecutive month of that year-over-year growth in enplanements. June was about 7% more enplanements 2026 than 2025, and we are 14% above budget year-to-date through June. So just keeping that great trend going. In the financial packet, with results through May, and I apologize, it's kind of small on the left-hand side, but as I mentioned, enplanements are up, as well as our revenue. We're 6% positive budget variance right now. We're at almost 4.3 compared to the budget of 4.1, and 11% over 2025 for this point last year. Expenses, we are significantly over expense right now in operating expenses, really driven by repairs and maintenance and then supplies. Supplies had one very large purchase that I think accounted for half of that. Variance just in 1 month. That one I think will level back out. We were making a little bit of progress. We are making a little bit of progress back to budget and repairs, but at this point we will be over budget there, so we're monitoring that looking at it with the team, and really the timing is, you know, awesome. As we're closing out the 2025 audit, we're starting that 2027 budget already. So we're working on financial projections. I'm hoping we'll have, you know, a budget to full year projection for you, so we can kind of see what that looks like. But this is something we're monitoring closely. Unfortunately, some of those repairs in the RTUs, Rebecca mentioned, we have a few of those projects planned, but some of them are coming up a little bit faster and catching us off guard a little bit when it comes to budgets. So just wanted to call that out and be transparent. We are monitoring that. There are a couple in our revenue, that fuel tax and fuel flowage. We have seen some very large payments from the state come in within this last couple months. So that is catching up and really closing that gap quickly. Those are really our only categories that are under, but we do expect from a revenue perspective, we'll recover and meet budget on all of those targets. So expenses, like I said, we're monitoring that. We feel like we're in a good place. And I'll have a, we'll have a full kind of finance update with projects and everything else too as we get through that, June number and do some projections for the end of the year. Okay. I have to say. I apologize for the coughing. I did pretty good in the first part, but getting.
Any questions there? Okay. 42 months of consecutive growth.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. All right. Do we have any other business for the board today? All right. Thanks to the operations team for supporting that fire. I know it's been a big blast. We appreciate you guys on that work. All right, then I just need a motion to adjourn today.
So moved.
Thank you. Second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you all for your time. Stay cool out there.
Good.
I got nervous.